أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الكريم Brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace, blessings and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all. Particularly, I have to say, those who do accept the message of Al-Islam right now. But I pray and I wish and I hope inshallah with sincerity that all of you one day will come to the point of accepting your faith in the simplicity that has been delivered to us via the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through the Quran and through indeed all the other books of guidance and spirituality that have been sent since the beginning of time. Allahu alam knows where they are, subhanallah. When Adam, says in one hadith from Abu Huraira, that when Adam was created, of course he was created a 60 cubit high, 30 meters. And Allah says, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that anyone who enters paradise will enter in the similar condition. So they will enter the same shape and the same size. So when we're in paradise, according to this hadith, we will be of 30 meters high and the same sort of shape as Adam. And Allah knows best what that shape is. That's the first thing. Now the second thing, which is incredibly important, is that this world is a test. It's an examination. And a person who does well in an examination in this world does well in the dunya, in the sense that they get recognition by their teachers, by their peers, etc. Similarly, if we attain good righteousness in this world, we are told that we shall actually have more in this world, and in the hereafter we shall be put in the paradise, which is anything you want forever. So they come to this world, and if they do well in this world, they go back to the paradise. This time they get a bonus plus bonus. That means you go to the paradise forever. That's something which wasn't before. So this is a bonus and a plus, right? So here we are now. We are in the dunya, the life of this world, hayat dunya. And depending on what we do, our actions, our intentions, our righteous intentions, we will get rewarded either positively or negatively according to the deeds on our righteous intentions. So this is basically what we need to do, try and attain righteousness and therefore go back to our rightful place in the paradise. And it is really with a simplicity that we should be talking about this, and we should be relating this story to the rest of humanity so that we don't get too confused, because there's a lot of messages going out there which unfortunately are false, or they're based on conjecture. You know, when people are looking at the purpose of life, there are many, many different ways of doing it. There are so many different ideologies out there, but very, very few that have any proof whatsoever. In fact, most of it is based on conjecture. And you will ask, if you ask 100 people out there, what is the purpose of life? They will answer, to procreate and just to bring up the next generation. That's it. That's the answer, you see? Another one might say, to have as much fun as possible in this dunya, and then you get put under the earth and you get eaten by the worms and that's it. Some say that, you know, you're sort of reincarnated in a different form. Well, actually, if you look at the Muslim perspective on that, it's not exactly reincarnation, but when you die, you go to the grave. And depending on how many good deeds you have, you're reincarnated within the grave, and you have either more space or less space, and, you know, you have a better time or a worse time. And then after the grave, the punishment of the grave, or, you know, the enjoyment of the grave in a way, you then get resurrected back in this earth, and you're in a state, and again, you're reincarnated in the form that you were originally created, or you're recreated. And then in the paradise or the hellfire, which are the two options that, you know, you get according to how you've been judged, you will be reincarnated in the form of Adam as he was originally created, that that is a reincarnation. And look, that's the paradise, and the hellfire, that's a different matter entirely. What we're talking about here is essentially all of these type of ideologies are part of Islam. If you look for it, you'll find parts of these ideologies. And Islam is the only universal message which says we all came from the one family, we're all going back to the same God, we are going to be reincarnated. It depends on what we've been doing in terms of our good deeds, in terms of our actions, in terms of our intentions, because in one hadith, actions are but by intentions. So if you intended something in this worldly domain, like making hijra for marriage, that deed will be recorded as you intended, and your intention was to go for some worldly benefit, that's fine. But if it was for Allah and His Messenger, then you get that reward as well. And that is a beautiful thing. He has said that when he was given the respite, that he would only misguide those on Allah's straight path. Now that's interesting. The Sirat al-Mustaqim is the path that the shaitan sits upon, and he misguides mankind from there. So he doesn't misguide people if they're sitting in a place of corruption and evil anyway. Yeah, he leaves them. He doesn't misguide them if they're sitting in with a gang of criminals, etc., etc. In fact, he's more likely to try and guide someone as a way of explaining, the way forward for humanity. And Allah says that he misguides or guides people by different groups of people. So here we are in the dunya, striving for the akhirah, striving for the paradise. The paradise which we know is so beautiful and so beloved to us. But what is up with humanity these days? What's up with mankind? Have you ever asked yourself, if you look out there and you see all of these different strains of people out there, don't they think in the night? Of course, the answer is, of course they do. Every single human being is thinking. Now, if you look in the world today, the frequency and the prevalence of suicide is going up dramatically everywhere. I was reading just the other day amongst the agricultural class in India, and so many of them are taking their lives now because of debts and bad conditions and bad work conditions, etc. These are people that own their own land, etc., but have had to take out all these loans and really just don't see a way forward for themselves. May Allah help them, inshallah. Again, in England, the youth are taking their old age. America, it is the condition and the status that young people are taking their own lives a lot. So more than that, brothers and sisters, if you look at the condition of the best, if you look at the top 5% of wage earners in the world, yeah, you'll find they are amongst some of the most unhappy individuals. Let's have a look at a few people. If you look at the top wage earners in terms of the sporting world, you look at football. In the UK, there is a new phenomena which has recently been found called football psychosis. Right, now what does that mean? Does that mean that, that you go into some sort of a psychotic state because you're playing football? No. Let's have a look at the condition of the average football player. Right, he earns between, let's say, £20,000 and £150,000 a week. That's difficult, isn't it? Then he's got, let's say, the best looking girl in town. Well, and that's not all. Not only have you got the best girl in town and as much as £150,000 a week, you have got access to the best car, like the Ferrari, which I mentioned, these high-performance sports cars, the Porsche, the Ferrari, the big SLKs, and, so on and so forth, with the big engines and the big noises, best sound systems. And then, of course, to make it really difficult for you, you've got the biggest mansions in the wooded areas in Surrey, in Manchester, in all the different beautiful places in Manchester and wherever the football players tend to live these days, and they live, of course, all over the world. Now, so we're talking particularly about the people in UK. So they looked at these football players and they noticed that, not only that, of course, just to add to that, I mean, of course, they're playing football, which is a very difficult sport to play because you're playing 90 minutes a week. So most of us are working like 50 to 70 hours a week in UK. And these people are working, let's see, 90 minutes, a bit of training, maybe 10 hours a week, right? Maybe more, maybe less. So it's 10 hours a week. And their work is very hard, very intensive, you see, because they play for 90 minutes and they have to concentrate and they have to run their socks off. Difficult, they get some injuries, so it is a little bit difficult. I'm not saying it's all easy, but why are they then, from all of what I've told you, they're getting the best of everything in the dunya, then going into these, what's called a sports psychologist field, football psychosis, yeah? That's when they come to these physicians who are trained in the science of the mind, and they ask them, you know, say, we feel a bit sad, you feel very depressed, we feel very low, you know, and these are the sort of things that they're coming out. Many of them, right? Subhanallah. It's not just the football players, there are many others, and we'll discuss those later on. But yeah, this is the condition of some of the most highly paid, most respected, most adored. They've got so many hundreds of millions of fans all around the world, like David Beckham, etc. And then they're still in this state. So brothers and sisters, please do join us after the break. Assalamu alaikum. Sisters, welcome back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Industry we should look at are the musicians. See, musicians, they have similar status, and the only difference is that they have a lot of more adoring fans than the football players. So these are the high status, high earners, big spenders, jet setters. You know, they're out there, they're amongst the fans all the time, adored, but so many people that love them, you see. But it's not all a bed of roses, right? What we're talking about here is some of them trying to take their lives. There was an article on Mariah Carey, tried to take her life. There was another Britney Spears who shaved her hair off. And of course, there are people like Michael Jackson who has tried to re-engineer his face. Now, these are just a few celebrities that I can mention. Then, of course, there's people like Frank Bruno, who went into a mental asylum after having so much success. Brothers and sisters, have you ever wondered why these people are in this condition? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ جِنْ وَإِنْسَ لَيَعْبُدُونَ, that your purpose of existence is to worship Allah. From there, you attain peace. From the peace, you attain happiness. If you're not worshiping Allah, you're not going to be happy. It's as simple as that. It's not rocket science. It's not blow me down. It's very simple. Now the message, if it is the correct message, has to be a simple message, because the silliest person and the most intelligent person have to have an equal opportunity to look at that message and accept it without doubt, to refer back to their fitrah. Of course, they were created upon it. Of course, as I said earlier on, that Allah took them out of the back of Adam and testified that, they all testified that they were indeed in front of their Creator at that point. So there's no excuses. It's just a question of not of whether they start thinking. Now, interesting facts are that in the UK, and it's quite interesting amongst the footballers that we were talking about, there are many shahadas. Amongst the politicians, there are many shahadas. You don't actually see them. There's a lot of people who are taking shahada that we don't know. They're sort of closet Muslims, I call them, you know, closet Muslims. But, you know, the fact of the matter remains that they've taken the simple step whilst others weren't able to do so. Dawah is essential for all of us to get involved in and to get cracking on. So, the purpose of life, you don't look conjecture. That means we don't just suddenly come up with our own theorem and then try to make the whole of humanity follow it. It's got to make absolute sense. The only thing which I've ever seen which makes absolute sense is what is written in the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I've already explained those things to you. Question is, how are we going to get mankind back into thinking about the purpose of life? And this is essentially, this is the real crux of the issue. The first thing to realize is, whether you like it or not, brothers and sisters, and some of you in humanity may not like this, every single age has been sent a Rasul, a messenger, saying, testify, there is only one God worthy of worship. He is not in his creation. He's not dependent on his creation. He's unique, and he's the only one worthy of worship. There's nothing like him, and he's not dependent on what his creation do. So if his creation do something, does not affect Allah. And Allah says in one verse of the Quran that if it wasn't for the believers being in the world, Allah would not give one glass of water even to the non-Muslims, subhanAllah, to the disbelievers. See, it's only because the believers are here that this world is the believers. It's for the believers. It's the place of the believers right now. If they all go tomorrow, the world ends. Thank God there's 1.6 billion Muslims in the world today. Otherwise, things might end. And if you look at the scientists around the world, the body of scientists, Allah says of them that even if these scientists, they all got together in unison with all their knowledge from the beginning of time until now, and they tried to create a fly, and the fly was to take something from them, they could not retrieve it. This is the weakness and the arrogance of mankind at the same time, that they will not accept the message, and they don't even feel in the position that to cry unto Allah and ask Him, who is the creator? Oh Allah, guide me to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. So, brothers and sisters, in one verse of the Quran, Allah also says, have you seen those people who take their desires, their desires as their God? You see? He explains a group of people. Now, if you look at the bulk of humanity now, they are following but their desires. They're supposed to be here worshipping God, and they've started to worship their desires. That's it. And this is why Allah says later on, it's only by the deeds of your own hand that evil comes unto you. And then you have people are going around now complaining and saying and wailing and saying, well, it's God's fault that all of these things, these tragedies and these famines and all of this qadr, 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 all of these things are happening. So they do evil. They don't admit to God, but they do evil. And when the evil starts to affect them and bad stuff starts to happen, then they start saying, it's God's fault, it's God's fault. Something really interesting happened to me recently. After 7/7, there was the train bombings in London. I had the opportunity to meet some journalists, and they were outside the mosque and they were asking questions, what's it like to be Muslim now, you know, and this and that. I said, there's no difference because I didn't do it. And I would never do that, and neither would the Muslims. But anyway, got talking to them, and they said to me, you know, well, to be honest, we don't really believe in God, and, you know, I'm an atheist and stuff like that. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, when the bombs were going off unabated in the tube stations, let me ask you a question. Who were the people on the train that hadn't been blown up by that evil action, okay? Who were they calling unto? They thought about it for a while. He came back with the answer. He said, I don't know. I said, I'll tell you that I read in one newspaper article that eyewitnesses were saying in unison that, oh God, help us. Oh God, help us. And this is what the Quran says, that when the people are in a state of need and desperation, then they call unto me. But when they are in comfort, dwelling in the world, with ease and comfort, they forget me. And this is the answer to the question of how we should get back to the purpose of life. We should imagine that death is at our door every single minute, because we don't know in truth how long the life will be for any of us. The individual day of judgment is coming for all of us, when the soul will be taken out. Regardless of whether your race, color, culture, or creed you like to even express it, regardless of even if you call yourself an atheist, that is a form of religion. A materialist is a form of religion. We will all be resurrected. We will all go back to Allah. This is the truth. We will all die. And when we die, the reality, what I've been telling you about how we were created, etc., and why we were created, and why we're in this earth, and what the test is all about, and where we go after this, will all become evident to you. And you will say, take me back, O Allah, take me back, so that I can reenact my life and do good to you. And Allah says of those people, even if I was to bring them back, they would do the same things that they make, the same mistakes that they made in this world, they will make again. Subhanallah. Because Allah has written 50,000 years before creation that this is all going to happen. And people are in arrogance. And they are like, as Allah has described, fuel for the fire. Because they do not know, and they cannot speak, and they cannot think for themselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us out of this condition. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to find the truth, to seek people out there who understand the truth, to give dawah to them, and for us to consider this as a communal problem. It's a world disease. It's not an individual disease. It's a world disease that we brought on ourselves, all of us, brothers and sisters. And we need to come out of this ignorance and come into the light, out of the darkness, into the light, like Allah says in the Quran. And we can all then go back to paradise, go back to our home, go back to the house of Adam and Eve, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it, forgive me if I've said anything wrong, and bestow peace and blessings upon the prophets, all of them. And just to say that Allah, all praise is due to Him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.